always been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, the January 24th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a pretty good start to the market so far with the NASDAQ up 97 points. It's got to be those chip stocks again. I know ASM Lithography had a bonkers report. That's got to be driving the chip stocks. I haven't had time to really look into it yet, but we will during the show. The Dow's up 39 to 37,944. The S&P is hitting a new all-time high today. Is it going to hit 5,000 here pretty soon?
We're getting there.
We're up 17. We're at 4,881. Now, just think for a minute. The consensus target price for the end of this year for the S&P is about 5,000. And here you are almost at 4,900 right now. That doesn't leave a lot of upside potential. There's a lot of fluff that's been built into this market. Crude oil is up 55 cents to $74.92. Gold is up a dime, 20.25. The 10-year is flat at 4.12%, and Bitcoin's coming back a little, but not much. Bitcoin is still under 40,000 at 39,867. It's down about 7,000 since that ETF news. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We had kind of a mixed day in the market yesterday. We did hit a new high on the S&P 500. I looked at 700 charts yesterday. I didn't see one thing that excited me. A lot of days are like that, you know. Hey, it's like going Christmas shopping at the mall or something. You don't see one thing.
You still got to take a look, right?
Yeah, you never know because you got to be there when you do see something that really pops. And I would say the stock of the day yesterday was SMCI, which is Super Micro Computer. I think, this little bit of fluff here that's being added to the market, pushing us almost to the target price for 12 months from now, I think it could be a little bit Donald Trump. That's just my guess there. He was good for the market. The market did very well under him. And I think that maybe some of this enthusiasm, the problem is the valuation keeps getting stretched and keeps getting higher. He did win last night, Nikki Haley. Our former governor, she got 44%. That's not bad. But, Barry, I don't think she's very popular in South Carolina. And if she can't win South Carolina, I don't see, seems to me like the road ends ends in Charleston.
Well, yeah. I mean, and we got to remember, she's not running against Joe Biden. She's running against Donald Trump in this particular instance.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a tough one to take down.
You know, and all the main players in South Carolina, including Tim Scott, including Lindsey Graham, including our governor, Henry McMaster, most of our Congress people, Nancy Mace, et cetera, none of them are for Nikki Haley. So I don't know. You know, I think somebody, though, should stay in the wings just in case, Trump gets thrown in prison or becomes, some odd thing happens. You do have to have a plan B. So anyways, I think that's probably the role she's filling at this current point in time.
And maybe why she sticks in for a little while. Who knows? It made it seem like the primary, the way this whole thing's been going down, it made it seem like the South Carolina primary was next Tuesday. And I look on the calendar, I'm like,
it's a month.
It's a month away. Yeah, the 24th, I think. I'm like, really? I'm like, it's So we'll see how, I mean, can you, I wonder what the news cycle is going to be between then and now. I mean, it seems like
Nevada,
not much to talk about.
It seems to me like Nevada. Isn't Nevada coming up between then and
maybe,
now?
Maybe, but the only one they keep talking, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, we're, you know, in the whole thing, it's like, we're moving on to South Carolina, and I'm like, you know. I'm
yeah, thinking, 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's a while.
So. Then it's Super Tuesday. Okay, yep. Well, tonight is Super Wednesday with Tesla. That's going to be a big one. You know what? Tesla could be a big disappointment. Tesla could have blowout numbers. You just never know. It's a choppy business. I would just say that the sentiment, the sales, everything seems to be going against Tesla right now. I have no idea if they're going to beat, if they're going to miss. You can be assured of one thing. If they miss, it'll get clobbered. And if they beat, it'll probably get a nice boost. So Tesla right now is just a dead stock, dead in the water at $210 per share. I don't have a prediction for Tesla. I lean towards a weak report just because everything seems to have been pretty weak lately in that whole sector between the Chinese EV stocks, between Hertz or Avis or whoever it was that got rid of 20% of their fleet. Pictures of people pushing their Teslas through the snow in Chicago. There's just been a lot of negativity on the EV sector here recently. Also reporting or have reported, Abbott Labs has reported, ASML. Man, been a good stock for us.
Talk about an earnings report. No?
That stock is up $63 per share. That is a straight-up bam, up 8% today. That's one of our largest holdings.
Yeah, their revenue, I guess, is going to – I think the revenue tripled to the – I think it's a record revenue for what is the largest company in Europe at the moment. And so pretty big, pretty impressive. Their machines, everybody wants them, which means that that the other chip makers, especially on the high end side of chip making, are doing well, are also doing good. So,
yeah, I mean that equipment, they have specialized equipment that is necessary to make those high speed chips.
Yeah, their net bookings tripled. So it's almost reminds me a little bit of the Nvidia report from last year, and then also you hit the other ones almost like SMCI, the Supermicrocomputer, where they raise their revenue forecasts significantly.
And ASM Lithography is also a dividend payer. We own it in our dividend portfolio, believe it or not. It doesn't pay a huge dividend, but it pays 0.7%. I would rather have 0.7% than 7% dividend of a non-growth company, because you're not going to see a 7% dividend non-growth company.
you're not going to see their stock price go up. So
no, not like this.
And what we get, Lam, two big ones, the names that we're interested in, ServiceNow, I think later on this afternoon and or after the close, and then we get Lam Research after the close as well. So
yeah, so there's a lot of good ones coming in tonight after the close. Tomorrow will be Intel. That'll be interesting to see if Intel's starting to
kind of keep up their push. You still got that bruise on the back of your calf that you from kicking yourself. We've had an eye on it for a long
time. Yeah, there's a lot of enthusiasm built into Intel, but they have to deliver. They haven't really delivered yet.
And their forward PE ratio now, and in a day or two ago, I mean, their forward PE ratio is already now, Intel's forward PE is at 51. So
yeah.
it was at a very low number a while back, and it's certainly gotten much richer.
Yes, and the forward PE ratio right now for the S&P 500 is 21.5. 1. That's very rich right now. Very rich.
And you know what the P/E ratio of ASML is compared to Intel? ASML is under 37.
I know. So I've always said, look at ASML at 35 times forward earnings. It's been a reasonably priced stock for a long, long time, and that's why we've owned it for a long, long time. Boeing 757 loses a wheel while preparing for takeoff. Now,
we just need to tighten some bolts. It seems like an easy fix. Let's just tighten all these bolts up. You know, get somebody out there with a hammer drill or something, right? And tighten these bolts up.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably more of a maintenance problem as opposed to a Boeing problem. But still, any kind of news like this gets amped up because of the recent news out of Boeing. Okay, when we come back. Another reason why the market's a little buoyant here today, interest rates. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, James Bullard, the St. Louis Federal Reserve President, says he sees the Fed cutting rates as soon as March. Well, I think that's the first time we've heard that from one of the Fed people. I don't see that myself. Bullard, a lot of times, is kind of a outsider from the rest of them. But he has projected that interest rate cuts could happen as soon as March before inflation hits the central bank's target of 2%. And I also saw that, Bill Gross, the bond king, said he thinks that they should cut sometime in the first half of the year, something like that, to keep the economy from going into a recession. So, anyways, that's good news on the interest rate front.
Yeah, and we'll get the PCE index on Friday to see we'll get a gauge of where inflation is, and of course. You know, the tricky part from the Fed is, of course, they don't want to cut too soon, right? And then, of course, have to reverse course if inflation pops back up. And then on the other side, they don't want to get too far behind and, beat parts of the economy up, where they're behind the eight ball again in terms of lowering rates, just trying to boost growth. And then, of course, you got election, in November. So I've heard if they're going to do some cutting, they want to kind of maybe do a little bit of that prior to the main election season, the main event.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll save some rate cuts for right before the election for sure. China is going to cut their bank reserve ratio in early February to boost the economy. Man, I'll tell you, see, that's if you go short on China and buy the inverse China ETF, they come along with some big move like that. And if you go long on China, they come along with some big move like tightening up regulations or something like that.
Throwing some CEO in jail.
So difficult to invest in. I don't understand why they don't make their investing environment a little more steady for investors, because I got to believe, I mean, there's got to be a lot of money managers like myself that are really, really hesitant
to invest
at all in China.
And that's where, I mean, that's kind of where we've heard, Jamie Dimon talk about, China being, and lots of folks saying, uninvestable, and that's where the risks lie. So.
Yes. Okay, Tesla is expected to launch a new mass-market EV in 2025. Well, we've heard this for a long time. And, of course, that's one of the big issues that you have with electric vehicles. They cost a lot more than a combustible engine. Back in the day, Elon was teasing a $25,000 mass market model. There's no indication yet on the pricing for the new model, but that's the buzz on the street. I mean, this has been a rumor for a long time. They say that the new electric vehicle has the code name Redwood and expected to be manufactured as early as the middle part of 2025 based on bids sent to suppliers. Okay, Netflix. Well, you know what? That was a surprising report. NFLX, they had their biggest growth of streaming new subscriptions since COVID. Look at that chart. I mean, that's a fantastic chart on Netflix. It's up 13.3%. Their growth was 12%. That's big sales growth, because they've been more in the single digits, 3-7, somewhere in there, percent. All of a sudden they put in a 12% growth. They must be coming out with good content. I'm not on Netflix myself.
Well, in the new business model, I mean, now they have the ad supported. That's starting to ramp up a bit. They've got these different tiers where you can pay I think it's in the $7 range, $8 range for the ad version. They cut down some of the password sharing. You can actually add a family member now, right, for a reasonable price instead of slipping them your username and password. So, you know, they've gotten a few things right, and it's going to be interesting. And to wonder, you know, I want to look into the numbers a little bit more. I didn't get a chance to read the transcript yet, but in terms of the writer's strike, right? Well, you know, during the writer's strike, they production was halted. So, they weren't having to, everyone's been spending on content, right? Well, in that instance, you know, they actually cut down some of their costs for a little while. So I'd like to look and see, how many, some of these studio figures, if, their profitability was just simply because they, didn't make anything and people were still obviously paying for the service and finding, there's tons of content on there. So it'd be interesting to look at that a little bit deeper. They did just pay, as we mentioned yesterday morning, they paid $5 billion for the WWE, the Monday Night Raw.
Wrestling.
Yeah, so it'd be no different than, ESPN and Disney paying for Monday Night Football, right, on ABC. So ABC and ESPN. But it'll be interesting to see. It's not an easy business, that's all I know.
You know what? And, I mean, the analysts are usually pretty wrong on Netflix. They get it wrong all the time, and they were way off here. And the stock is just absolutely blowing away.
Up 13%.
The expectations. Like I say, the first 3 weeks of earnings season have been pretty soggy stocks. Bank of America and IBM and, all of these soggy, slow growth stocks. AT&T, now we're starting to get into some growth and some quality. And, even though earnings season is off to a pretty weak start, now we're starting to see the real companies report. And I would just say, by looking at today, ASM and Netflix, that's a pretty good report. Now you're getting into
two pretty big beats. Yeah.
Yes. Now we're getting
big companies.
We're getting into the best stocks now. That's where I'm interested. I expect weak reports from 3M and the like, but it's good to see a good start so far to the tech.
Well, in market cap wise, Netflix. I was just we're looking at it here. $215 billion company coming a long way from mailing those DVDs to you in the mail. But the size of these companies that are coming up too, and ones with better earnings potential, can boost that earnings your earnings number on your newsletter pretty quickly.
Yeah, that can do it pretty quickly because they carry a lot of weight in those indexes. Now, when we come back, there's another tech stock with just a straight-up breakout move today. on six times normal volume. So three for three as we begin tech earnings season. Off to a good start. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Market is even getting a little bit more lift here as we progress through the day. The NASDAQ is now up 153, and the Dow is up 45. We're having a very big day here at our firm. That's a new all-time high for Gunderson Capital Management. ASM isn't hurting things at all. That's one of our largest holdings. We've talked about ASM lithography many, many times. And, you know, let's just look at it in the app real quickly.
It leapfrogged a couple of names, at least one name this morning in terms of moving up the chart in terms of, you know, closer and closer to the top of the largest position.
Yes.
Man, did you see AMD? Look at AMD today. Up 4% the last time I looked.
Those are pretty much the big three, NVIDIA, AMD, and ASML.
Yeah, AMD at 177 now.
That's incredible.
I was looking at that a couple of days ago when we last wrote about it. I think that was when it was in the got to the 155-ish range, and you know, pretty. We've written about AMD a number of times, but it's always been good to us.
Yes.
That way.
Well, here's where the app had ASML ranked as of yesterday, before today's big news. It was ranked number 29 out of 5,390. You know, it's consistently been ranked. 1 year ago, it was ranked number 5 overall. It has a ranking of buy. Let's just see how much upside potential the stock has here. Valuation as of yesterday. I show 89% upside potential. So it's not easy to find a stock that fits valuation criteria like that in today's market and has that kind of momentum and is such a major player. I mean, I'm just kind of surprised that I wonder if a lot of these big American mutual funds aren't allowed to buy it because it's a Dutch company or a European company. I don't know.
Well, but yeah, I guess it wouldn't fit in a domiciled, you know, in other words, that's why we don't like international, you know, only, you know, mutual funds and ETFs because, you know, companies got to be domiciled outside of the United States. It doesn't matter if they trade here. They've got to be domiciled outside, and the same thing happens sometimes, like you said, with those U.S.-based names.
There are inefficiencies in the market. There's no question about it, and that's what we prey upon. We're always looking for inefficiencies in the market. I do not buy into the theory that everything is all priced into the market at any given point in time. The market is extremely efficient. No, the market is not extremely efficient. Because there's a lot of things that you can find underneath the surface, but you got to just put in a lot more elbow grease to find those stocks. Okay, SAP. SAP is a great stock, another foreign stock. I mean, it's a major tech stock out of Germany. Look at that stock today, up $11 per share, 6.8%. So you've got four tech stocks reporting today.
Yeah, SAP, and they're an interesting one because they've they're so big. It's interesting to see a name like that move so much in one day.
Exactly. Now we got to get to a stodgy one. You got to throw those in. By contrast, AT&T, which just has been going down and nothing coming out of them in innovation.
Do they report tonight, or I know their report comes up.
Let's see. Shares pre-market as the issued its forecast. Oh yeah, they haven't reported, but they kind of.
I know they reported this week. It's either tonight. I think it may be tomorrow, but yeah, I know they're coming up. But.
Now you could say, well, they pay a 6.6% dividend yield. Well, the reason is because they don't have any growth.
Well, look at the stock price. I mean, it's basically
it's just been in a slide
flat since
for a long time. But you know what? That's a favorite out there on Seeking Alpha because
them and
of
Verizon.
Big dividend yield. DuPont plunges. Okay, well, let's see. Is this an indicator? Oh man, that's not good. DuPont plunges on warning of slow sales, and who are they blaming? China. DuPont down 11%. Right now they're down 13% after the chemical maker warned of slow sales and weakness in China. So that's not a good report. That's the pride of Delaware is DuPont. DuPont's made a lot of missteps over the years. Now see, that's a single digit grower again. That's just not my wheelhouse. I have no interest. And yet the mutual funds and the ETFs and the big wirehouse firms, they just love stocks like DuPont and AT&T and Philip Morris, etc. Okay, let's take a look at the next one here. Abbott Labs. Abbott has been pretty stodgy. They haven't, they got a big boost from COVID. Weren't they making ventilators or something?
Yeah, and didn't they get knocked down? Who is it that made the
baby formula?
Yeah, that was kind of the headline risk that they had like a year and a half or so ago. That was pretty pretty disappointing, just in terms of overcoming headline risk, right?
And they have very stodgy growth prospects: 1%, negative 3%. That's their recent quarters. That stock's down 3.1% today. It's just amazing that people buy these stocks, But hey, I'm all for it. Let them buy those stocks. That's why they call it a market. Someone's got to buy them, I suppose. Baker Hughes.
Oh, and Dexcom kind of outcompeted them on the diabetes side too, I believe.
Now Abbott is trying to compete with Dexcom a glucose monitoring device, but they're so far behind. Once somebody grabs market share like Dexcom did, and with an innovative product. Then here comes a big sluggish company, years later, trying to compete with them. That just shows you that, I don't know about the management there. Not too sharp. Baker Hughes down 2.7%. The oil stocks continue to be a bad place to be, despite the Houthi rebels. I heard there was another explosion. I don't think it hit anything, but it exploded very close to a ship in the Red Sea.
And the U.S. bombed some target, I believe, Iran-backed place in Iraq, and in retaliation for some of their missile shooting from somewhere in Iraq, and hitting one of our facilities in Iraq where we do some planning and things of that nature. So
then one more of the most exciting stocks in the market. Kimberly-Clark.
I was waiting for you to get to Kimberly-Clark. I thought that was going to be better.
Another 1% grower. It's down 4.2%. Just an ugly chart. I do not like to look at ugly charts. They make me sick to my stomach. I got to move on.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we don't need the stuff they sell. We just don't need their stock, right?
Yeah, I mean, disposable diapers is their big deal, and baby wipes and facial bathroom tissue and paper towels and et cetera.
Yeah, pull-ups. We got pull-ups. You know, they've got a diaper for every part of your life. Huggies, pull-ups, swimmers, and eventually Depends, right? But at the same time, not a stock you want to own.
Nope, the pride of Dallas, Texas. So is AT&T. What's going on in Dallas? We got to get some growth stocks there in Dallas going on. And then last but not least, let's do General Dynamics, which... I knew a lot of people over the years in San Diego that worked for General Dynamics, the big defense contractor. I had a lot of General Dynamics retirees as clients. Still have a few of them left. General Dynamics is having a good day. It's up 5.6%. So, all right, there you go. There's the earnings season. It's kind of the haves and have-nots. And it's your choice. Do you want to own the haves or do you want to own the have-nots in the market? There's a big gulf. There's a big gulf in between. A big gulf, right?
And lots of analysts. How would you like to have to cover Procter & Gamble and Kimberly Clark?
I know. Anyways, ASML, a little bit more exciting. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow's pretty quiet today, the big stocks. It's more of the exciting tech sector that's leading the market today. You look at the Dow, nothing really moving a whole lot. Microsoft is up 1.3%, but the big loser is DuPont. That's not good because that's an indicator of the global economy. I mean, they're into all kinds of things, plastics, chemicals, agriculture products, global food, transportation, other markets, and they're blaming China for a big, big slowdown in their own business, and that stock's down 13.4%, and it's a member of the Dow. Now, in the S&P 500, that's where the excitement is today, in the NASDAQ. You've got Netflix. I'm going to call Netflix the stock of the... You know, I don't think ASML... There's another thing, Barry. It's not in any indexes. It's not a part... I don't believe it's a part of the NASDAQ. I guess it, because it's a foreign stock. I don't see it in the S&P 500.
Yeah, I'll have to peek at those listing requirements. It's certainly possible since they're domiciled elsewhere. So, yeah, that... potentially, you know, because I mean, it trades as an ADR, right? As a quote unquote American depository receipt. So it's domiciled, in Europe and shares trade here. It's no different than Alibaba trading here or some of the, foreign Nestle's another one that comes to mind. But yeah, I guess that, listing requirements, I guess maybe it actually, I guess that kind of makes sense. I never really thought about that before.
It seems to fly under the radar, too. I don't hear people talking a lot about it, but we've been on it for a long, long time, ASM lithography. So I'm going to call Netflix the stock of the day. That's really surprising. We don't own Netflix. It's hard to say that that's a high-tech stock. I mean, it's more of a leisure movie company, streaming company, but
they had a high tech idea.
Yeah,
right? It's a high tech way to get it to you. Not as high tech as it used to be. Now that everything's streaming,
it's
right?
Loosely associated with that FANG index. So it's the stock of the day, up 12.7%. Then ASM is second. ASM is up 8.8%.
I can't quit refreshing our screen for the names that we own today.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to find one in the red.
General Dynamics is up 5.6%. That's a weapons stock. They do a lot with the Navy, General Dynamics, FCX.
Your Oscar Health is tearing it up again. Up over 4% today.
That's okay. I'll take that. Now, FCX is Freeport MacMoran. Now, there you go. You're back to basic materials. Very unpredictable. You know, it ebbs and flows with demand from China. AMD up 5.3%. You got to call it one of the stocks of the day. That's a solid chart. Is that a new all-time high on AMD?
Yeah, I think it is. Yes, it is.
177. Let's not forget, in 2016, AMD was a $1 stock. Now it's 177. And, you know, it almost broke down below support earlier this year, or late last year. It was back in October. And it held the line, and then it's just been all up ever since.
And one of the great female CEOs, too, by
the way. Yes. All right, so AMD, and then you've got AMAT, which also makes equipment for chips. That's a great breakout on AMAT. It's a little bit lower tech than ASM. And then you've got KLAC, which is also in the chip equipment business. That's been a good sector. I've always said that the best two sectors in the market over the last 10 years have been the semiconductor manufacturers and the semiconductor equipment companies. KLA is up 3.9% today. I think NVIDIA's hitting a new high today. Yep, a new 52-week high on NVIDIA. It's up 3%. Unbelievable move here recently in NVIDIA. And hey, get the best stocks now app and look what the number one ranked stock in the app is out of 5,400. It's NVIDIA. The app knows what it's doing more than I do. Let's see. Lam Research is also having a good day. The app steers me in the right direction. Lam Research, LRCX. Which I've owned off and on over the years many times. It's breaking out today, up 3.2%. Another great stock, ServiceNow, is breaking out today.
They'll be reporting after the close. We'll have our eye on them and Lamb. Both of them report, I believe, after the close today. So
ServiceNow is up 2.2%. Avago or Broadcom has been on a tear. It continues to be on a tear. That's another chip maker. It's up 2.5%. Well, you look at your own portfolio at home and see what you own. You know, I think you get a pretty good drift of what the the boring, stodgy, no life to them stocks are. Now, that doesn't mean you can buy these stocks of today and just hold on to it. You still have to manage them very, very carefully along the way because they're not always in favor, but they're certainly in favor now. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, which we've had many lately, people coming on board and putting new money in or transferring their accounts to us, I go to work on them the day they get here, either cleaning up the existing one, starting to infuse some of ours. It's a process, methodical. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Okay, you take us home there, Barry.
Yeah, well, we've got, I think a key for the going forward for the week is going to be, of course, earnings, and then we've got weekly jobless claims tomorrow, so that's always lately been an interesting number to look at, and most importantly, the PCE index coming up on Friday. Obviously, that's the Fed's most preferred version of inflation, so we'll see what that looks like, and we get, I think, first round of GDP tomorrow, so Plenty of stuff to keep us interested, and we'll hopefully these green screens will keep it going at least for the next at least for the next few hours. So,
all right, have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.